Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I am your host for the podcast. And today we're talking about everything metaphysical. I see I even have trouble saying it. Everything metaphysical. Now, I've got the lovely Randall on. Sean Randall on. And we're going to be talking about all sorts of different things. Look, people use the word metaphysics for so many different ways and they interpret it in so many different ways. I want to get right down to the tin tacks of it. What actually it is? What does it mean? How does it help us? Why are we using this terminology in this day and age? Like, and how does it help us unleash our true potential? What does that mean? What is it all about? And I'm going right back down to the grassroots of it all, because if we don't understand the grassroots and the base of what intuition, spirituality, metaphysics, if we don't understand some of these bases, it's really hard to go forward or go forward in a way that's empowering for you. So we're going to talk right about metaphysics. And today we have got the wonderful Sean on, who's going to help us. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Thanks for having me, Susan. It's great to be with you.
Oh, my pleasure. And sorry about getting your name wrong. I start to get all muddled up in names. It's one of my really bad areas.
Well, people call me by my last name. People call me Randall all the time. So you're fine. I'll respond to either or, just however.
It's funny because I get Jane a lot. I get a lot of people saying, hi, Jane.
Yeah.
I'm like, yep, okay. And you just go with it. Like we're going to get precious. It's just, that's ridiculous. There's bigger things to be precious about than your name.
Yeah, probably that's true. I would agree with that.
Well, what I want to know first of all, Sean, is I want the our listeners to get an understanding of who you are, how you got to where you are, and why are you talking about metaphysics? I don't want to know about metaphysics yet. I want to get an understanding about you first, and then we're going to get into it.
Yeah, I'll give the Cliff Notes version, I guess. So I'm a metaphysical novelist and poet, hence my appearance on the pod today to talk about metaphysics. How I got here was sort of a meandering path. I was young, and always had an inclination towards it. And through high school, it was the first time I was published was while I was in high school. Poetry was a huge love of mine, and I played piano. So, songwriting was kind of where I began. And then I just always continued to write. But it was never my, my work or my full-time pursuit in life as an adult. I pursued a corporate career. I started in the restaurant business, and then I was a multi-unit manager with Starbucks and then Nordstrom. And I became, fairly disillusioned with that life that I was living and pursuing. And I switched into more of an entrepreneurial type of career, and then ended up in the real estate business. I had a good friend of mine that taught me the real estate business and mentored me. And it was at a really key point in my life. Sparing the details, we can get into them at some point. But I had really everything had spiraled downward, and I had hit rock bottom, both career-wise, financially, emotionally. I was addicted to alcohol in particular, and extracurricular activities with drug use that went along with that. And so my health was failing, and my emotions were in a horrible place, and everything was kind of crumbling around me. So I was looking for a career change to kind of, fix that. And what I noticed was that things would get better in my life, and then they would quickly fall backwards. And it kind of came to a head in April of 2018. I was cat sitting and apartment watching for a close friend of mine. And I got to the apartment and just kind of get myself in there, check on the cat. And then I was doing Uber, you know, basically 40 hours a week to keep money coming in while I was starting this real estate career. And I got there and they had a note on the counter with a bunch of meals they had prepared for me. And beside the note was $100. And I remember feeling, you know, just like, oh, this is a favor. I don't need this money. But I also had this tremendous relief because it meant, well, I don't have to drive tonight. I can actually take a night off. And so I had this like sense of relief. And then immediately I had this sense of really just depression and feeling terrible. And I started to cry because it was like, how am I still, I'd been working on fixing my life for a couple of years at that point. How am I still at this point where $100 makes that big of a difference? And I didn't know any of the answers back then at that point, but I said something, I'm doing something wrong and I have to figure out what it is. And I have to figure out how to get myself right-sided. And so from there, the next year and a half, two years, I worked very hard. I got sober and I did a lot of work to get my life prepared. But something was still missing throughout that, but I was committed to finding it. And flash forward to March of 2020, I went to vacation in Lima, Peru. And I was overwhelmed by the archaeology and the history and the, you know, the fact that you have this modern city, but in the midst of it, you have these ancient ruins and you have this anthropology and the history of, you know, the last 2000 years kind of sits before you. And it just got me to think, wow, there's, you know, in the scheme of this, I'm so worried about, and I climbed this pyramid that was 1500 years old and I'm, you know, out looking over the ocean and the city. And I just thought, you know, my life is so completely irrelevant and important in the way that I think that it should be, but I'm also a part of something that's much bigger and much greater. And I didn't know much about what that meant, but I had this mysterious sort of feeling of okay, there's something bigger here that I haven't been paying attention to, and there's something underneath the surface that I need to find. And that was kind of my first, I'd been looking for a couple years at that point, and that was really the first moment where I started to get this intuition, for lack of a better word, right? That I was on the right path and I was on the cusp of something. And that same trip, I met somebody and fell in love, which was great. And then in March of 2020, I went back to Chicago and the pandemic happened. And so my business and my career that had been going well and going in the right direction slowed down. And this new love and new relationship that I was looking forward to going back to Lima and this place that I'd become so encapsulated by, the borders were closed, travel was shut down, and I couldn't do any of that. And so when that happened, it was the universe giving me what I needed before I got what I wanted, because I felt like everything that I'd been working for was right there, was yanked away from me. And
just stop for a minute. You said then, Sean, was amazing. Okay, I've got to remember it. You just said what the universe needed to give me was not necessarily what I wanted to give. What did you say?
The universe was giving me what I needed before I got what I wanted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. We're gonna go back to that. Sorry. I didn't mean to be rudely interrupted.
No. That's great.
That was gold. Yep, gold.
That's great. Well, it's a good checkpoint. So and it was at that point where, you know, the first couple months of the pandemic, I was moping around and I was, you know, I wouldn't say that I was depressed, but I was bummed out and grumpy, and I wasn't doing much of anything. I was just kind of, you know, like most of us, kind of 2 weeks at a time, hoping this thing would go away, even though I knew it wasn't going to. And I remember I was scrolling through social media, because that's what you should do when your mood is low, is you should scroll through social media. And I saw these posts about people being disgruntled about gaining weight and being bored. And I thought, well, that's hilarious, because there's a solution for both of those things at the same time. But it was a reflection of what I was doing in my life. And I said, well, I've come too far over the last couple of years to let this be the thing that sends me back in the wrong direction. And I said, what is the opportunity that the universe is giving me right now? And, you know, I had dabbled in meditation before. And, you know, writing was had always been something that I did, but it was never something that I really pursued and said, hey, this is going to be my life's work, and I'm just going to throw myself into it. And I took the time during the pandemic and during quarantining to just decide, you know what, I'm going to take a deep dive into meditation. I'm going to figure out what's inside of this person called Sean. And then I'm going to, you know, and then we'll see where the writing goes from there. I didn't know exactly what direction it would end up going. But so at that point, I started to engage in deep meditation 3-4 hours a day. And that, it was that turn inward where I really, you know, I connected with my authentic self. And I realized that a lot of the trauma I put myself through and a lot of the emotional issues and baggage that I'd been carrying around were self-inflicted just simply because I wasn't living a life that was true to myself. I was living a life. I was pursuing a path that I felt was safe, right? That I felt I would get these material rewards for, or I would, you know, if I had material rewards, then I'd be worthy of being loved and I'd have a great relationship and all these things that I wanted to put in my life, I was pursuing outside of myself. And I realized that the feelings that I wanted and the experiences that I wanted in life were all available to me. Just on the other side of my closed eyes. And once I realized that, then, you know, the path towards manifestation began, where it was like, all right, well, how do we start to, you know, these visions for my life, how do I start to create them? How do I actually put them into practice? And so that, as I worked on that, that's become the core of what I do as a writer, is try to both, you know, through fiction and through nonfiction, try to help people just first discover themselves and then find the pathway to becoming the person that they were always meant to be.
That's what I got out of your story, which so many people experience, is those highs and lows where you feel like you're going the right way, and then all of a sudden something happens, and it's not what happens, is the fact that something happens, you know, and that sort of sends you on a journey, another direction, another way. But one of the things that you did say that really resonated with me is when you were doing the Uber driving and you went to pick up the food and there was that $100 note sitting there. And when you broke down into tears, I don't know how many times that's happened to me, but it has happened to me a lot, not the Uber driving and the $100 note, but the same principle. As soon as somebody has showing you gratitude or something like that, all of a sudden you get this big well up and you sort of, you know, do I deserve that? Why is it affecting me so much? Why am I in tears for this? When it's a beautiful gesture, when somebody says something lovely to you and then you break down in tears, you know, all that side of it really resonated with me. And you saw it as the money and that side of it. But yes, I've seen that quite a few times in my life coming forward, growing forward as well. I'm getting better at it. I don't break it down into tears as much anymore. But it really, that side of it really resonated with me. I didn't think, and I don't mean to sound sexist, I didn't think men experienced it like that. So it's lovely to hear that side of it.
Well, I think it's interesting in terms of perceptions about men. I think that generalization is probably true. I've always been very, 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 very connected with an emotional feminine side. I was a mama's boy growing up, and I still face the same sort of social constraints about how do you express that, right? How do you, as a male, is it okay to, when a film moves you or something artistic moves you, is it okay to cry? And somewhere along the line, I just started to accept that about myself a little bit better. But that was something, when I say accept myself, that was something I would do alone. My fiance now, she, you know, I cry in movies all the time. If I get inspired and something is really moving and just, you know, just touches me, I cry a lot. So, but they're good tears, right? They're happy tears. I'm very
calm. And it's lovely to see. It's really nice. It means you're connecting well. You're having trouble with your audio, aren't you, Sean?
Your
microphone was going in and out a little bit while we were talking.
All right. So can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can hear you well. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, good. No. So I just
No, you are breaking up. You are going in and out now. The microphone's not working as well as it was before.
How about now? I've got a quick backup plan if we're not.
That
is it good now
okay,
or no?
Yeah. Now okay. It's good. Yeah. I think sometimes when you're moving that it's going a little bit funny, but yeah. So that's good.
Yeah, I was having a connection issue, so I'm going to disconnect and just go direct here. So anyway, it's interesting. Where I really, you know, kind of wanted to dig into your question there is that I think that the way that we feel emotions is different as men and women, and that's okay. That you know, men and women experience things differently, and that doesn't mean that we're not equal and that we can't achieve all the same things. But it's also true that all of us, whether we're male or female, have male, masculine characteristics and feminine characteristics. It's the way the universe is wired. It's the way that creation has unfolded. And I certainly have a Taoist bent to my, you know, philosophy, and that, you know, masculine and feminine and lightness and darkness resides within all of us. And so,
absolutely, you know, we have to have both. You can't have one without the other. We have to have both. But exactly. Sean, I want to get stuck into metaphysics or metaphysical, and I want to get an understanding. First of all, just basically to break it down, what the hell is it?
What is metaphysics? Well, so I think you touched on this in the intro. I mean, you could get 1,000 different definitions. And I've had different definitions of it. You know, when I first started getting interested in it was you know, maybe 20 years ago, I just ended up having this conversation with somebody that was random, and I didn't really know anything about it. And I'd heard of it, but I didn't know what it was. And so we started to talk about it, and I got that person's opinion, and it kind of put me on a path that, you know, metaphysics are the immaterial aspects of reality was kind of where I started from. And I'll flash forward. Here's how I define metaphysics. Metaphysics is the pursuit of the nature of reality. And we don't really know what that is. And that's why there becomes so many different definitions. And for me, what I think science is bearing out is that what we view and experience as material really isn't material. Everything that my hand is creating a conscious experience for whoever just watched me wave it in front of the camera and whoever, you know, but it's no different than my voice, right? So when you hear my voice, it's easier to think of that as an immaterial thing, but the material that makes up my hand is the same material that makes up the sound waves. And the particles and the energy that create the mental construction that we navigate through this life with, are all empty space and energy. There's stuff isn't stuff. And so for me, what's the difference between, you know, a table and the feeling of love? You know, it's the way that it appears. Now, love is obviously a powerful emotion that moves us, but it's everything's made out of the same things. And we don't really truly fully understand what those things are. And I think it's okay to say that. I think it's okay to say that the world is incredibly mysterious and bizarre in the way that it's made up and in the way that we experience it. But everything we experience, we're having a conscious mental experience. Everything that we touch, we're experiencing with our mind. We're not, you know, if I touch my leg with my hand, that experience is in my mind. It's not between my hand and my leg. And so if we kick a rock, we think, oh, I put my foot into something that's substantive and material, and we're just kicking a bunch of particles that have slowed down, and our human minds have evolved to see a rock there. And so that's where when I talk about metaphysics and what it means to me specifically is it's the pursuit of the nature of reality. And I think that one of the hard parts is I think that what I'm pursuing is unknowable to some degree. But that the mystery and the journey of it is the most worthwhile thing that I can do with my time, and particularly with my writing, because I think that that's when we get distracted by what we think is material, we lose sight of the fact that everything is immaterial, and we lose sight of the things that are most important, which are the, you know, you could call it spirituality, you could call it immaterial, you could call it energy. There's a lot of different words that are used for it. But those are the things that guide our emotions, and those are the things that guide our experience. And the difference between living a life that is, you know, fulfilling and joyful and living a life that is filled with suffering and anxiety and fear is that I realize that I can tap into the energy source that is producing this, you know, mental conscious experience that I'm in. And I can participate in that. That's how I've been created and evolved, is to be a part of that. And that the same energy that creates gravity is also the same energy that I can tap into with my thought process and my creativity. Everything's, you know, energy manifests itself in millions and millions of different ways and forms. And I have the ability to get involved in that and express it in my own way.
So when you're saying the pursuit of reality, so what we you're saying, and I like the kicking the rock understanding of that, because that's something somebody can understand and visualize and get a feeling for. Bloody hurtful feeling, mind you.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is the reality, the pursuit of reality. So what we're seeing reality now in this 3D sort of experience, and where we're living and how we are right in the here and now, is our reality at the moment is seeing the rock as a rock. We kick our toe, we hurt our foot. Yeah. And that's how we're seeing it. Whereas metaphysics is more about pursuing what reality really is. And that is that the rock is, like you said, slowed down energy that has become more stagnant, for want of another word, and not as fluid, not as free-flowing as other types of energy. So when we look at energy as in, say, love, like you expressed, that's free-flowing. That's not restricted to a rock or a table or whatever it is. So when you're saying the pursuit of reality, this is just my thoughts. This is just me trying to express that, because it is challenging. So when you're saying the pursuit of reality, it's like, well, looking at the rock and going, well, hang on, it's not just a rock. That's how I'm perceiving that reality. But the other way to look at it, the metaphysical way to look at it, is to understand that it is energy too, and how we can tap into that energy and utilize that or I don't know, just grow and develop with it. Am I close?
Yeah, definitely on the right track. And I would, you know, if just sticking with the rock, one of the things I like to say is, you know, if an artist saw the rock, they would see that rock and they would be like, oh, I could do a painting with this. Or a different kind of artist would be like, oh, I could sculpt this. Or another kind of artist would be like, well, I could incorporate this into some sort of other modality. And then, you know, one of our ancestors 5,000 years ago could see the same rock and be like, well, if I shave a little ring around the middle, I can tie a rope on it and I can create a hammer, or I could create a tool to start to begin to, you know, create agriculture and dig in the ground and plant crops. So that stupid little rock that we see there has, you know, 1,000 different purposes, but the purposes aren't determined by the rock. The purposes are determined by the person who sees the rock and the potential that they see for it. And, you know, that's just a crude example. But as human beings, we have the ability to do that to ourselves. We have the ability to say, all right, well, I could be a painting, I could be a sculpture, I could be a hammer, I could be a tool, I could be anything that I want to be. There's no limit to what I can craft and create with my life. And I do believe that we're, you know, the genetics plays a part of it. And we have these inborn natural inclinations, things that we enjoy doing, things that we're good at. And somewhere when you pursue things that you enjoy a lot, somewhere along the line, if you continue to do that, you'll hit this intersection where you find stuff that you're really good at and that you really enjoy doing. And when you find that thing, that's where you can really really throw yourself into your work and into your life, and work is no longer work at that point. Now you're pursuing the thing that you feel like you were born to do. And you know, that's the, to me, that's what quantum possibility is that any given particle at any given time can become some random thing, and it could actually exist or not exist. That's the kooky nature of the universe that we live in, is that the reality of each individual particle is on a knife's edge of it might or it might not exist. And so that's the stuff that we're made out of, and we're made out of endless potential, you know, essentially, and the energy that binds that together, we just don't understand. We can't explain it in scientific.
The other thing too, Sean, when you were just saying that too, because I really liked how you expressed that, is that doing something you're good at and then doing something you love, when they intersect, is where, you know, where that's where your, I guess, the sweet spot is.
Yeah.
And when you were going through our lives and we've got all these ups and downs, that's all part of that, isn't it? That's all part of trying to find that sweet spot. You've got something that you think you're good at and off you go, but it's not necessarily something quite right in what you love. You're not going to get that intersection until something happens and you change direction. So, yeah, it's bringing it right back to that. I really enjoyed that. Before we go any further, though, if you want to connect with Sean, make sure you jump onto his website, which is Sean, S-H-A-U-N, hyphen, Randall, R-A-N-D-A-L-L.com. So I had to get that out before we went any further.
We appreciate it.
No worries. So we've got an understanding that metaphysics is in the pursuit of reality, and reality is not reality unless you feel it's your reality. So it's very, very individual, and that's why it's so hard to understand it and get that area about it. So, excuse me, when you were talking about it a bit further earlier on, you were, or was it when I was reading, when I was stalking you and reading your website? I can't remember what it was. We were talking about like more of the universal aspect. Is this where you're starting to, because you're talking about energy, you're talking about that sort of thing happening, even when we're talking about gravity and all that sort of stuff, what is that bigger picture that you're looking at or that you're referring to?
Yeah, so the best explanation that I've found is the Hermetic principle that everything that exists is a mental conscious experience, and that experience is the all. And so everything that is within inside of that, and everything that is mental. There's some sort of there's some sort of consciousness that's actually bigger than the universe that we're happen to be in as humans in the year 2023. And so nothing's bigger than the all. And yet the all is the creative force that is inside of everything. And so that's the cool part, right? Is that whatever that is, that conscious expression of existence, of reality. And the closer I always stumble over my words, because the closer that you get to the true nature of reality, the more mysterious it becomes and the harder it becomes to talk about. And we tend to especially in the year 2023, we want to sound like experts, and we want to be experts, and we want to know everything all the time. And it's okay sometimes to say, well, I don't really know what that is. But the best explanation for what the universe is to me is that it's a free-flowing conscious expression of the all. And so people will instinctively go, well, do you mean God? And I think some people would use that word. I wouldn't particularly use that word in the same way. I think there's a lot of baggage that comes with that word, but whatever it is the thing that is that the universe and our existence and our reality and everything that we experience in life is flowing from. That's how I define it. And it's a creative force. There's no doubt that, and there's weirdness to that creative, you know, just in our tiny, tiny, tiny little planet, 99% of the species that have ever existed are extinct. And so part of this creative process is tremendously destructive. And that's kind of mind blowing in a way. But the whole universe that we live in is an explosion, right? And so the universe is expanding. Our galaxy is going to crash into Andromeda in, I think, about 500 million years. And so as precious as we think our planet is, at some point it's regardless of anything happening now, it definitely has a shelf life and an endpoint to it. But that doesn't mean that reality has an endpoint to it, or that nature or existence has an endpoint to it. And our lives are so much more finite than even that. And so when you start to really dive into those questions and think about those things, your brain starts to hurt a little bit, because it's ununderstandable for the mind that we have. And that's okay, because the mind that we have has an unlimited amount of potential that is usually untapped. And so, you know, I think to me, just a basic understanding of, hey, everything that is happening as a mental conscious experience is a great understanding of reality as best we can right now.
Okay. I really like that too, because I really resonate with how you use the word all inspiring or the all, because I'm a bit like that. I truly believe the word God does have too much baggage with it nowadays.
Yeah.
And it is used to manipulate, and it's used to control, and I don't like it. And it doesn't mean I don't believe in that. I call it a collective consciousness, because I didn't quite know what else to call it either. But yeah, it's tapping into that energy. It's another energy, isn't it? It may be a different style of energy, different type. We don't know, but that's what, you know, oops, we've just lost him, but he'll come back on in a minute. There he comes. So what I want to get an understanding of, because we're talking about intuition as well. What does that mean? So those metaphysical understandings that all there, what is intuition in regards to that? How can we, how does it help us to know that this universal wisdom is there? How does that help us in our here and now? Because like you say, in 500 million years or whenever it was, the planet will be blown up. Who cares? I'm not going to be around then. Well, not in this body anyway. How is that helping us in the here and now? Because I want this life to be the best it can be while I'm living it. So how does that universal wisdom, how does that help me? How does that link to my intuition and help me? Because I think it's all to do with manifestation, but I'm just giving you a hint.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so, you know, to me, what manifestation is it's the ability to create my life experience. And so, you know, that understanding the universal wisdom, as you refer to it, and that there's this creative conscious thing, things such a weird word to use in that, but there's this flow of energy that's happening at all times. And that's creating the reality that we experience. Knowing that it exists, it is one thing. And it's so just knowing that it exists isn't necessarily particularly useful. Buddha said that a certain amount of people will realize that enlightenment exists. And then an even smaller amount of people will try to become enlightened, and even fewer yet will actually attain it. And those aren't his exact words, but that's the idea of it. And it's the same thing with what you're talking about, that in terms of, you know, what good does it do me? Well, just knowing that it exists doesn't really help at all. And because it's difficult, I think a lot of people kind of dismiss it, because it's easier to just focus on the stuff that we see and the stuff that our brains are constantly being bombarded with constant advertising and constant messaging and our social development. We're conditioned from the time we're very little to be focused on the material here and now in your face stuff. And we think if we just acquire stuff, and if we just have certain, you know, if we have a great career, if we have great relationships, if we have all those things, then we'll have this great life. And sometimes that's true, and other times it is very untrue. And so knowing that there's, you know, sort of a higher energy plane, it's liberating when you understand that, okay, I am a created being. So I can create. And that's really the difference between a human being and the rock that I was talking about before. The rock doesn't really have that ability. you know, we've been endowed with a creative, conscious experience that is really remarkable. It's miraculous. And so knowing that it's there is great. Trying to really tap into it is the next step of it. And then once you experience it, and that's where my life changed, is when all of a sudden I realized, okay, I can actually alter the condition and the experience that I'm having in my life. And I, the feelings that I think that I want from getting, having a great career or driving a fancy car, I can actually create those feelings and sustain them on my own with by tapping into this creative source of energy. And when I do so, the rewards for that are much, much more satisfying, and they're lasting, and they stay with me and they grow. And so I always use the example of meditation. The more I meditate, the less that I need to do it. But if it's, but if I'm pursuing a career, the more money I make and the higher level of career I achieve, it turns out that I need to keep doing that, and I need more money, and I need a higher level of status. And as soon as that plateaus or peaks, then I get stagnant. I get that lack of progress either makes me depressed. I begin to, you know, you begin to suffer no matter how much stuff you have. And so the difference maker is that when you realize that you're here not to acquire stuff and not to achieve status and not to do all the things that we're told in the year 2023 will make us happy, but we're here as a conscious expression of the universe. We've been created as ourselves for specific reasons. The universe has us exist to meet opportunities so that it can continue this creative process. And we're all endowed with unique talents and unique personalities. And when we tap into those things and really allow that creative conscious force that we're talking about, that higher energy, you called it, you know, higher wisdom. When we allow that to flow through us, then the life experience that we have dramatically changes. And it's very difficult for me to describe, but when I encounter other people who have had that experience, they immediately know what I'm talking about, because it's night and day. It's the difference between being thirsty and having all the water that you could possibly want. And that's the use of it, is that when you tap into that higher wisdom, you feel like, okay, I'm the person that I'm supposed to be, and I'm here for a reason, and I'm doing the work that I was always born to do, and I'm living the life that I was always meant to live. And that, you know, regardless of any particular outcome of anything that I do, I'm simply being fulfilled by pursuing this path that I was put on in this miracle that we call reality.
Yeah, I love that. There was something there you said, and I wanted to ask, I wanted to go back over it again. Oh gosh, I can't remember. But what I really liked, and sorry about my phone buzzing there, I'll throw it on the floor. What I like is the fact that you talk about manifestation, and Sean's got a book out called The Manifestation Method, which is it's about overcoming anxiety and fear, and you build a life of abundance, fulfillment, and joy. So that's on Amazon. They can pick that up on Amazon.
Yeah,
on your website. Yeah.
Yeah, it's available for sale now on Amazon and on the website. And this coming Tuesday, June 13th. Well, by the time people are hearing this, it'll be available on Amazon. Beautiful. And on the website. Yeah.
Okay. And the ironical side to this that I'm bringing forward now, which is funny, because it's a lot of that manifestation side of things that I sort of went, okay, I'm a theory tester, Sean, so I like to test theories. And yeah, I came through with a lot of books. So I read a lot of books to get to where I am now. That's all I had. We didn't have internet and podcast in the olden days. I read a lot of books, and I'm a theory tester. And one of the books I read was Shakti Gwam, was Creative Visualization. And I started to practice that, which is very similar to the manifestation. You know, you sort of create your own things that you want. But what was really funny, and it came forward again when you were talking, is that when people are looking at manifestation, or when they're looking at creating, straight away they go to that physical realm. Because what I did was I created, I wanted the farmhouse. I was living on a 90 acre organic crop farm. And the house was really, it was an old farmhouse. It was really run down and I wanted to fix it up. Didn't have the money to do that. So I tested the theory. And so over a 6 month period, I was doing this manifestation creativity and picturing the house as I wanted it to be. But, and it came through like $85,000. I lost the roof. We did, had a big storm come through, lost the roof. It was all insured. Didn't realize it was insured. And it was exactly how I pictured it. So yeah. It was amazing. We had to have this destruction before the rebuild, if that made sense.
Sure.
But it's really strange when we talk about manifestation. The difference is it sort of hooks us in. And when I see something that a physical change that I could make, a reality change that I could make in my own head reality, it does become physical. That's what really set me off. It was like, okay, I don't need to worry about the stuff anymore. I want to start changing my life so it's actually what I want, not what I need around me.
Yeah.
And you start to focus on it in a really, really different way. And what I liked about the book, the title of your book, which is The Manifestation Method, you're not talking about how to win the car of your dreams or how to get the, you know, it's not about that. It's about your emotions. It's about your feelings. It's about your experiences in life, not your stuff in life.
Yeah.
And that is the big aha moment that people don't quite realize. But if they want to buy your book and go, okay, I want to manifest a fancy car, have a go, test the theory, buy the book, test the theory. That's what I do. And if that works, then start testing it on other areas of your life, like fear, like anxiety, like that sort of side to it.
Yeah.
So I just had to share that little story, but that was.
No. Yeah. I mean, that's, first of all, I couldn't have said it better myself is my first response. And I think, you know, it's, I love the example of, you know, if somebody, you know, bought the book and got a fancy car out of it. And I would say that's a waste of your $20. If what you got out of the book is a car, because what's going to happen is you'll drive that car for a week. And as amazing as you feel, and maybe you don't even make it a week, maybe it's just a few days, or maybe you make it a couple months, but at some point the car will now no longer be interesting or exciting for you. And then, so you take a step backwards. And so one of the things that I think is really, really crucial to understand, especially in the modern world we're in, and a lot of things that I see, I almost said people trying to teach manifestation, but I think there's a lot of people trying to sell manifestation.
Yes.
And marketing manifestation is not particularly easy if you're genuine about it. But you know, what you said is perfect. You know, that desire to attract stuff in your life, first of all, it's a normal natural inclination that we all have. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't want to sound judgmental about people who, you know, like nice things. I like nice things. So we all do. And so there's nothing, you know, morally wrong with it, but it always, always, always leads to a path of needing and wanting more. And that is what creates suffering. And so, you know, I have gone out of my way in the book to make sure that people know that, you know, that you're not going to be able to read the book, close your eyes and put $1 million in your bank account. And if that's what you want to do, I would tell you to find another book. It's not, that's the point of what I've written and what I teach. Because what, you know, what true abundance is, what fulfillment is, and what joy is, which is the point of the book, is achieving those things and attaining those things. When you can truly bring those experiences into your life, the stuff that interested you in the first place is no longer interesting, and what you end up with is so much more rewarding. And that, you know, that's not a real sexy sales pitch, right? That, you know, you don't need stuff. People are like, no, I still need the Mercedes to feel good. I still need the big house. And I'm as guilty as anybody of pursuing that. But the key is, what you said is, you know, it's that turn inward. It's that, it's knowing that everything that I need is inside of me and I can tap into it and I can access it. And then I can craft and create the world around me. And so then when you achieve that, you realize, well, you know, and for me, it was like, well, I, you know, that somebody that had always kind of pursued material things, it was like, well, wait a minute, I can actually turn myself into, you know, a successful writer and novelist, and I can create a life around that and reach people and impact people in that way. Man, that the outcome of that is so much more powerful and rewarding than I ever possibly could have imagined for myself ahead of time. And it's so much more empowering. You know, you said it. It's like once you turn that switch on, then you're like, oh wow, I can do. Well, it turns out I can do just about anything that I want to. And that's really that's the power of manifestation. Once you've opened that faucet, and you can turn it on and turn it off at will, then that's an incredible way to experience life. And that doesn't mean that there's not setbacks and tough moments and challenges and that life doesn't continue to happen in the way that it does in this universe, which is things bump into each other. But it means that you understand that when those things happening, it's actually a part of the process that is taking you to the next level. And you're becoming a better version of yourself with any of those challenges. And the universe is providing that obstacle as an opportunity for you to learn and grow.
Yeah.
Once you realize that anything that's any perceived negative experience in your life is actually an opportunity to grow and learn, then fear starts to diminish and you can actually transmute your fear into courage. And so when I get obstacles now, I get excited about it. And that doesn't mean that I don't experience fear, but it means that I experience the fear and I go, all right, well, that's an evolutionary instinctive voice that tells me something big is ahead. And that is exciting to me and I'm going to go after it. And
yeah.
So that's the power of manifestation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, I did it to start with because I wanted to test it. And for me to test it on something that was physical that I could see, that was what gave me that aha moment. And it was like, holy dooly, if I can do that, then I can change my world. And it's not that physical side of changing my world. It's changing my inner world. Because I do want to, I know we've got to go soon. I've sort of hit the mark where we've got to go. I just wanted to say, I changed the farmhouse, but what I didn't focus on was the relationship. And that's what was making me unhappy. It wasn't the farmhouse that was making me unhappy.
Yeah.
It was my relationship. And it wasn't him that was making me unhappy. It was me in the relationship. I was unhappy. I didn't focus on that. I focused on making the house look nice.
Right.
And it was after that that I realized that, hang on, like you said, it only lasted a little while. And then it was like, I'm still not happy. I've got to look at something else.
Yeah.
And if I can manifest that and make the house look like that, I can manifest me and make me look or feel how I want to. And that was the brilliant. And that's what's brilliant about these sort of books. But we have to go. Have you got a couple of secs? Anything else you want to put forward before we say goodbye?
No, we've covered it. I think this has been a great conversation. I always, you know, to me, I have two core messages that I'd like to make sure that people know, and that's that the universe is unfolding for you. You get sometimes when you're not getting what you want, it's because you're getting what you need, and just be patient with it. And when you set your mind and visualize what you want, create a plan and create a path and pursue it, but also let go of the outcome and just trust that the things are going to work out. And that's the step, leap of faith that we all have to take. But when you make that, when you let go of those outcomes and just accept each moment as it unfolds on your behalf, when you get down the road, you go, wow, this is turning out way better than I possibly could have imagined.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being on the show, Sean. That was wonderful.
Thank you, Susan.
Now stay there while I do the goodbyes. Hang on, let me just press all the right buttons. So guys, jump onto the website. It is seanrandall.com, and there's a hyphen between his names. So yeah, jump on the website, have a look at his book about manifestation. It really is. It's a great it's a great way to kick it off. If you're not sure about where to go, what to do next, grab his book, have a look, test his theory, see what it is. If you can see something happen to you, this was how I looked at it. If I could see something happen to me in the physical side of things, I know then I can change everything else, because the physical side of things is really easy to change. You can just move down. It doesn't change what's happening inside. That's where we start to get into the nitty gritty. And that's what this book can help you do. So jump onto that, to the book, and have a look. That's it for me this week. Hope you've had a great week. Subscribe, share, like the podcast. And we will see you in the next week. Okay, bye for now.